Welcome to a Classic Wednesday, the world-famous Phil Henry Show here from the El Pacifico. And why? Why are we doing a Classic Wednesday? Well, this song reminds me of Pastor William Rennick. That's not who we're going to have on the show today. We are going to have an equally interesting guy on our show on this Classic Wednesday, Austin Amarca. And let me just explain what our Classic Wednesday is, what Classic Friday is. But, you know, basically it's classics, and we have it on a day of the week. It's to give you guys who are not Backstage Pass members, who are not subscribers to our website, who do not have access to our enormous archive, 20,000 plus hours of a pretty amazing radio show that we did from 1990 all the way till 2006. And I actually got up on stage the other night at the Ventura Comedy Club and told this story. I told the story of how our show came about, how we, you know, developed the show, and how it took me to all of these different characters and presenting them the way that we did. Back between 1990 and 2006, we did basically a satire of talk radio, but the difference was we used real callers. They just didn't know they were talking to made-up people. They didn't know they were talking to me doing a character voice other than outside of the voice that I was doing as the host. And it made for some pretty remarkable moments on radio. And one of the things, one of the after effects, I think, that our show had was basically the end of talk radio. I think we ended talk radio as presenting this idea that it was the neighborhood chat session, that it was somehow providing some kind of truth. We found out doing our show that people are not as bright as they think they are. We found out that, you know, people don't believe the things that they say they do. And I think that because of that, I don't know if I'm proud of this or not, but there was a decline, I think, of talk radio. It eventually slid into conservative radio. And now radio itself has sort of become an afterthought. So if that's something to be proud of, then I guess I'm proud of that. Nonetheless, I started out on a little station here in Ventura, as a matter of fact, KVEN, doing this kind of show. And you'll hear what I mean when you hear our hour today on Classic Wednesday. This is from October 26, 2005, and it features a character we named Austin Amarca, kind of a rednecky dude from North L.A. County, although in this particular episode, he may be from somewhere else like New Orleans or somewhere down south. And so this was 2005, about a month after Hurricane Katrina. And Austin is on talking with me about a brother that he had who died in Hurricane Andrew. And Austin went on to say that he felt that Katrina was coming for him because Andrew took his brother. Now, it's pretty weird and it's pretty funny, but we'll listen to it. And you know, you decide just exactly what it is you're hearing. But at its very best, I think it's just really good. At its very best, I think it's like radio that you're not even sure is radio. Maybe you're just overhearing people talking about something. So let's go back to October the 26th of 2005, back during the heyday of our radio show, and listen to this hour of Austin Amarca talking with me. And this is, by the way, me doing both voices, about his brother. I forget what his brother has one of these names like Billy Bob or Bob or something, who died in Hurricane Andrew. And Hurricane Katrina was coming for him, Austin Amarca.
And now, the internationally recognized, critically acclaimed, world-famous Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686.
Right, now, you stated in an interview, Mr. Amarca, that your brother Robert was killed in Hurricane Andrew. And obviously a great trauma.
Well, yeah, it was a great trauma. It was a terrible thing to lose Bobby. He was our youngest brother. My mother took it hard, and it gave me a good look at hurricanes and really what I think essentially is the evil. Hurricanes, you cannot tell me what benefit nature derives from a hurricane. We gain nothing from hurricanes. And I lost a family member in Hurricane Andrew.
Now, you're living in New Orleans, or you were living in New Orleans with your wife and two daughters?
My wife, Trudy, and our daughters are Isabel Ann and Deanna.
And what were you doing down there? You were working?
Yes, sir. I worked as a longshoreman for a packing firm, and then I was a welder at the Port of New Orleans for a while.
And you decided you wanted to get out of there. Here's the question that I have for you, sir.
Yes.
You heard that Hurricane Katrina was on its way to New Orleans. It had passed through Florida. It was coming up through the Gulf, and it gave you an idea, somehow an idea to avenge your brother's death and to help your family?
Yes, sir. I realized that something that had killed my brother was on its way back. And I don't think it takes a stretch of the imagination to realize that if you've got a brother that's been killed by it, I think in a way, I don't think there's anybody that wouldn't at least consider the possibility, well, it's coming back for me now. It took my brother, and now it wants me. And I can tell you that when I lost my brother, I lost my best friend.
I understand.
And I knew that Katrina was coming, and I knew it was coming for me, and I decided then and there that I would, for just a way of saying it, I wanted to spit right into its face, that I would not show fear, and that in the memory of my family, in the memory of Bobby, that my family and I would spit right into the face of this thing. And so that was what motivated me.
All right, now you waited. You didn't immediately evacuate. You waited until the morning of the 29th when it made its landfall.
Yes, sir.
With a wife and two daughters. Now tell me why you did that.
Phil, I love my family, but I don't think I'd be much of a father or a husband if I let the thing that killed my brother back me down in front of them. And my wife and my daughters look up to me as any man's children and wife would look up to him. And every man's wife and every man's children are looking at him with a magnifying glass to see how he'll respond to the very thing that killed his own brother. So I waited and I waited and I waited. And when it made landfall, we packed the car with the bags that we had already prepared. I buckled the baby in the car seat and I told everybody to calmly get into the car. And we went out Cheney Road here in Slidell to I-10 West. And at that point, the winds were already approaching at 50 miles an hour. And I remember I stopped. I had a wind gauge. I told my wife, we're not leaving until it hits 60 miles an hour.
And all right, now, what are you doing? You're tempting fate here?
I am showing that hurricane that you might have killed my brother. Okay, you got lucky once. You know, fool me once, shame on me. Fool me twice, shame on you. And I showed, and I wanted to show it, that even I wasn't going to be running out. I wasn't running scared.
So the casualness, why all of the slow and methodical action to show that you were not running scared?
That is correct, because it had killed my brother, and now it was making itself very clear that it wanted me. And I'll tell you, if I die tomorrow, I'll go to my grave having let the hurricane know I wasn't running scared. And it was, so I wasn't going any faster to this as if I was, taking my kids to school. And we drove out of town. I made a conscious effort of laughing. I played a couple of Dwight Yoakam CDs that I got. And I could tell almost, Phil, that the hurricane was getting angrier as I sang. And I ate a tuna fish sandwich my wife had made.
All right, I want to hear all of the story, but basically you came all the way to California. And you got here last week ago Monday, on Monday, right?
This past Monday, yeah.
And you already have a literary agent, Mr. Bodine?
Yeah, Chris Bodine.
And you have a script that you have written, and you want to shop the script about your escape from New Orleans.
Right, it's called Escape from New Orleans. It's called Spit in My Face, the Escape from New Orleans, and it's about how I said to my wife and my kids, we aren't going to go any faster than as if we're going to the park for a day. And I'll be a son of a bee if the hurricane is going to make me go fast because it killed my brother. Now it thinks it's going to get me. And we left New Orleans at no faster than 55 miles an hour. I went out over the causeway. I remember I slowed down and I looked in the rearview mirror and I said, yeah, it's just as I thought, and I saw the causeway collapse. As soon as we got over that causeway, I think my family's alive today because I wasn't going to let the hurricane run me out of town on a rail. Now, I know that it devastated New Orleans, but if only I think, Mr. Henry, people had been had more courage the way I did and looked into the face of that thing and said, you want to know something? No, you don't scare me at all. Now, they could have gotten out of town and all of that.
So you want this to be a feature film?
I think it's a story that needs to be told. And the fact that my brother is dead, well, I
want to say how sorry I am to hear that. I want to give our number out here, too, Mr. Remarco, all right?
Yes, sir.
1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Your story has to do with a very calm, methodical evacuation from New Orleans. You even at one point stopped to let the hurricane catch up?
That is correct, yes.
Tell me about that.
I noticed as soon as we had gotten a little east of the city and we'd gotten over the causeway, the rain lightened up a little bit, and I stopped the car and I got out. And I remember saying out loud, and the winds at that point, again, were up around 55, 60 miles an hour. I remember saying, come at me. Come get me. And I noticed the rain got a little harder, and I got back in the car. And I swear, I never broke 55, 60 miles an hour. I wasn't going to show the thing that butchered up my brother that...
Take your time.
It's all right. I wasn't going to show the thing that killed my brother that it was going to ride me out of town tarred and feathered. And my wife and my daughters, they're going to deal with it. And
how are they responding to this?
They were, I heard them screaming, but to me, it was as if they weren't there, because I knew they were upset. They were screaming. The babies were crying. My wife was screaming, probably a kind of a scream that in any other instance would put a chill right up a man's spine. But all I remember was hearing screaming as if it was coming from somebody else's house, because I knew they were fine. And
all right, now you're at the outer edge of the hurricane where the winds are supposedly, or were you?
No, I think we were a little bit more towards some of the slower winds toward the interior of the hurricane. But we never, I don't think the winds, because we were driving away from it, so I don't think the winds ever got much past 60 miles an hour. And
what do you hope to tell people with this film that you very calmly got out of New Orleans while all the other people, were panicking, perhaps?
This was about me and Hurricane Katrina, and how one man got a little bit of revenge for the death of his brother. When it killed my brother, I told myself that the day will come when I know I can't stop hurricanes from happening, but one thing I can do as a man is I can put my hands on my hips, stand there in 60-mile-an-hour gales and spit into its face and say, I'll get out of town when I'm ready.
Isn't that what a lot of people are doing?
I don't know about whatever it is you're talking. I'm just talking about me.
And no, but isn't that what a lot of people in New Orleans are doing? They're getting out of town much to their everlasting regret at their own good time.
I don't know about them. I'm just talking about me. I don't let hurricanes tell me what to do, especially since if you have a family member that died in a hurricane and that you don't want to exact some level of to get some self-respect back and revenge, then I think there's something wrong with you.
All right, well, the story is leaving the evacuation of New Orleans spit in my face, and this is about your family's leaving New Orleans. You were fully packed car. You had everything for the kids.
Absolutely.
Everybody had something to eat.
Yeah, we were all well taken care of, but I wasn't going to go out in a panic, and I wasn't going to go too fast.
Well, you even stopped and waited for the winds to catch up and get a little heavier. You say you got across the causeway just before it collapsed?
Just before it collapsed, I got over it. And I saw it begin to buckle, because as we went over the causeway, water was coming up over it. And when I saw it buckle, I remember looking, and I couldn't help but laugh. And I remember thinking, I bet you thought you had me there. You dirty, I just looked at the causeway buckle, and I said, yeah, how's it feel? How does it feel? You didn't kill another Amarca.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Mr. Austin Amarca on the line with us about his leaving New Orleans with his wife and kids. not in a panic, not in a rush, but very slowly. In fact, almost tempting fate by going as slow as he possibly could, waiting for the winds to catch up. It was a personal thing for him because Hurricane Andrew, which in his mind, the hurricanes are all just one big hurricane. Hurricane Andrew killed his brother, and he said, it's not coming for me. 1-800-449-8686, Mr. Austin Amarca, who is in Los Angeles shopping this story for a feature film deal. And we'll be back to talk more with him on The Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
Show me where it says bone smoker in the Constitution.
The Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
On the line with me is Austin Amarca. The gentleman is a former resident of New Orleans. He's in Los Angeles now with his wife and two children after having escaped Hurricane Katrina. But his escape was perhaps a little different from ones we might hear about. His escape was one calculated to, quote, show the hurricane he wasn't afraid of it. You lost a brother in Hurricane Andrew, which is a tragedy that only few of us could even imagine, Mr. Marca. But my question is this, before we take some more calls. What did you hope to show your fellow man? Forget about the hurricane. Your fellow man, as you made this very casual, very calculatedly casual escape from New Orleans.
Well, I'm not thinking about other people, Phil. This was one-on-one. This was eyeball to eyeball with the thing that thought it would just waltz into my life and take my best friend, my brother, and then whatever it's been now, 13 years later, come skipping back down the road to deal me a death blow. Yeah, well, guess what? It's not going to happen.
No, but we live in a world with other people.
I guess to answer your question, I don't know, but if it helps other men man up. And when they've got a wife and children, especially if you've got a wife and two daughters, if you're the only man and you've got three women, brother, you better man up because they'll eat you alive. You know, my wife and my daughters, women are very strong. Women are very strong. They're much stronger than men in a lot of ways. And they'll eat you alive if you don't man up, especially in the face of something that carved up your uncle. As it did my two little ones, Isabel Ann and Deanna, their Uncle Bobby died. So they're looking at me almost as if they got a microscope on me. Am I going to man up or not?
Your little, they probably didn't even know him.
No, but they heard stories about him. They knew who he was.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Steve, hi, you're on the Phil Hendry Show.
How you doing?
Good, sir.
I'd like to know how could anybody want to spit in the wind of God? God makes all this.
Well, God made what? The hurricanes?
God made this world.
Yeah, but I don't think...
He makes everything.
That's if you believe in God.
You face... But I've lived in Florida. I've lived in Texas, Louisiana.
You see, if it's just you against the hurricane...
I've owned property in Biloxi.
You're going eyeball to eyeball.
Texas and Kansas.
Have you ever been...
Now, how can you stand there and when you know that the force of God is coming for you, and you actually stand there, and I'm not a real religious
person. I'm not going to sit there and let it kill me.
How can you say, well, it took my brother. Well, they give you warnings.
I ain't going to sit there and let that thing back me off. And I think God made me, too. He didn't just make the hurricane.
Yeah.
He made me.
Are you going to spit in his face?
Which is more? A lesbian came and told me to leave? What?
He tells you to leave.
No.
He makes weathermen to tell you to get out of there.
Hey, let me ask you this. Of the hurricane and me, which is more like God? Me, because I'm made in his image. A hurricane is just a lot of, what you're spewing right now, a lot of hot air.
Oh, yeah. No,
all right, look, you don't...
Fortunately that you got away from it.
No, sir. I looked at that hurricane. I waited for the winds to hit 60 miles an hour before I very leisurely got into the SUV... Buckled up, I flipped on a Dwight Yoakam CD, and I moseyed out of town like I was on my Sunday drive. You know why? I wasn't letting Hurricane Katrina, the thing that carried my brother away like a piece of lint, take me. I think it's time we all man up.
Well, man up. Hey, when God puts these, and I'm not...
You go again with that God stuff.
Well, what's wrong with God?
Wrong with God, but God expects you to stand there and take it like a man, especially when you got three women looking at you. And you know what that's like, don't you? Sure. They're waiting for you, man. Sometimes women, you almost
I travel in three buses and four tractor trailers. But
you know
what? If the weatherman tells me to get out of town, you've got to get out of town. When you see those funnels and you see I've gone through Camille.
Especially when you've got a wife and two daughters.
Well, yeah, but look, God was testing me, and I showed God. 2 points, a marker. Score it. We'll take time out for this word from NBC. You know what I'm saying? And I will tell you this. When you got three women looking at you, women will look at you because they're waiting for you to collapse. Women wait for men to fold up like a cheap tent made in China. And the minute that a man folds like a Chinese tent, man, they swoop in and take over.
Hey, I went through two tours of Vietnam. My nephew just is on his third tour. He just, September 1st, went to Iran again. He went to Iraq. He went to Korea. And now he just went to Iran.
He went to Iran twice? Pilot. You got him going to Iran twice.
No, Iraq,
Iran,
Korea, and then Iran.
And then Iran. So that's Iraq, Iran, and Iran.
No.
Wow.
Iraq,
no,
Korea.
He said Korea. He said
Iraq,
Korea.
Korea,
Iraq,
and Iran.
Okay, Iran and Korea. Where else?
He went to Iraq.
Iraq.
Then he went to Korea when they threatened us with the darn nuclear thing.
Right.
And now, September 1st, he went to Iran.
Has he ever been eyeball to eyeball with Katrina? No. Score it.
No, but he...
Time out. Substitution.
All right.
Substitution?
Yes, exactly. Because unless you man up in front of the women, I don't care if you've been in front of every raghead from here to Timbuktu.
All right,
you're trying to say something against. You're trying to play yourself against with women.
Steve, thank
We're
you very much.
We're talking about something that, that comes from.
What was
world.
The name of the hurricane? Katrina. Oh, come on!
All right, thank you very much, Steve. You are not making a lot of sense when you talk about women, and that man was trying to say that.
No, I'm making perfect sense. When you are in the middle of an emergency. And you've got women staring you down to see whether or not you're going to man up. Brother, either you come to the table with both your fork and your knife and your napkin tucked into your collar, or you stay in the bathroom and weep.
1-800-449-8686. Here's Bill. Bill, go ahead.
Yeah, I lived in Algiers across the river from New Orleans.
Yes, sir.
Back in 59. And, of course, I was just a kid then. And when we had a hurricane coming, we got out of town. I also lived in New Orleans. When we had a hurricane down there, we got out of town. Good Lord, he gives you a brain to use, and he expects you to use it.
Well, I did, but I wasn't going to let the hurricane think I was running from it.
Well, the thing about it is, you know, I went to the Marine Corps in 68. I did my thing for 4 years. I manned up, okay?
Okay.
If we have a tornado coming up here in Marshall, Texas... East Texas, I'm going to get out of its way if I can.
Yeah, but you know? You don't want to go too fast because the thing's looking at you. It killed my brother. Now it's coming for me?
Well, hey.
You see what I'm saying?
But well, what do you mean it killed your
brother? Did your brother have a chance to get out of town?
Did my brother have a chance to get out of town?
Right.
Maybe. Maybe he chose to man up and stand there. And tell that thing it wasn't going to plow through Homestead like a buzzsaw. Well, guess what? I guess he was wrong.
Because they never... against nature is not a smart thing to do.
They never found my brother.
I say,
never found
up,
him.
Man up against nature is not a thing to do.
I swat flies. So that's man
that's
enough.
Not
I mean,
nature.
It's not a
that's
big
not
thing, but it is man enough.
All right, look
that's
at,
not nature.
Thank you very much, Bill. 1-800-449-8686. Mr. Amarca left New Orleans slowly. It's Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686.
Be lovely with me. Come on, be lovely.
1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
With me is Mr. Austin Amarca, who has arrived in the city of Los Angeles from New Orleans with a wife and two children. Sat down on Monday after arriving and wrote a treatment for a movie of the week. Based upon his escape, you keep saying this was your escape.
That's correct, yeah.
Well, but your wife and your children were with you.
Yeah, well, I told you, Mr. Henry, this was really about me and Hurricane Katrina. When it's something that killed my brother and did it in a way that it didn't need to do to Bobby what it did, it threw his body so far from Miami they never found it. They found someone that they thought was Bobby that looked a little like him. But the DNA testing was inconclusive. does that, it's between me and it. And my wife and daughters are coming along for the ride. And like I said to them, my daughters are crying and my wife is crying. I said, I haven't even gotten this sucker rolling. When I do, you're going to have to hold on for mercy. Because this is nut-cutting time.
Well, what? You won.
Yes, I won.
Okay, you won because you never once panicked and ran. You said you were doing 55 miles an hour as the causeway collapsed behind you.
That's correct, yes.
You stopped when the rain got light because you figured that you're going to let the hurricane catch up. So in your mind, what did you win?
I showed that hurricane the very thing that killed my brother, that I was going to go as slow as I could out of town, almost as if I'm taking the kids down to get a Slurpee or a, you know, what, an ice cream popsicle. And it, you know, it could bring it and bring it and bring it again. Bring the gas, man. Bring the heat. Wasn't going to hurt me. And the way I said it to my little daughter, Dionne, I said, a mark of 47, Katrina, nothing. We'll take time out. We'll be right back here on the ESPN radio network. You know, and my kids, they enjoy that. They enjoy that daddy is a little crazy, but he manned up.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Jason, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show. Jason?
Yeah.
Yes, hey. Go right ahead, sir.
All right, man. I need to ask you a couple questions, but I've been sitting here listening to your little movie-making deal here on the radio.
Well, see, that's the other thing. A lot of people are jealous.
Hold on. You didn't let any of the other guys talk. Let me talk real quick.
All right, that's fine. But, you know.
Do you actually think for one neuron in your brain that this hurricane cares that you were trying to show it up? Do you honestly think cares?
What do you mean? What are you talking about?
You said you want to show this hurricane you were not going to run. You were not scared of this hurricane. Do you think the hurricane cares?
It does now.
It does.
It does now, yeah.
So it didn't get you, but it rolled over thousands and thousands of countless people that it murdered.
I don't know about that.
It devastated New Orleans. How do you not know about it? You're in New Orleans.
You're so
busy right now trying to make a movie that you don't even care about what it did to your home city?
See, that's what we're talking about here, Mr. Marka. It sounds as if in the pursuit of this movie-making deal, you're ignoring the horror that other people...
Look, what about my horror? What about the fact that my brother Bobby was thrown so far by that hurricane?
Dude, you need to come with peace at yourself with your brother. I'm very sorry your brother died.
I am at peace now that I stared it down.
How long ago was it?
It was Hurricane Andrew, 1992.
Okay, and you've had kids and you've had a wife?
Yeah.
So, which do you love more?
I love your
deceased brother or your present family?
I love my family, but I had some business to take care of between me and the hurricane.
But you put your family that you say you love in a predicament where if you were wrong and you didn't speed up and that hurricane made a turn towards you or spawned a tornado by your car, you would have put your family in a predicament where all of y'all would have died.
My kids would never have forgiven me if I hadn't manned up. And as that kid,
Well, your kids. Let me say
I
this.
Got out
your
and
kids
I laughed.
And your wife expect you to be a man by taking care of them and keeping them out of harm's way.
Absolutely.
They don't care about eating you up or carving you up. Your wife was sitting there screaming that you said would have been chilling any man's back.
Sure.
That means she was scared to death for her life.
Yeah. However, here's the thing you're missing. She was scared because all of a sudden she realized she was married to a real man and she didn't have as much guts as me.
Now, she's not supposed to have as much guts as you. She's a woman. Women get married to men the most majority so that we take care of them and we keep them safe.
That's where you're wrong.
You get it. She was screaming. Where's your wife?
Women are way more guts than men. And
all right, do I understand? Hold on for a minute, DJ. You have a tape of a moment in the car?
Yeah, my wife rolled this tape. This is on her cell phone. And this is an actual tape, from what I understand. When the gale force winds, it hit 60 miles an hour. I was outside the car.
All right, we'll roll that, bud. Is that it?
Yes, sir.
Now, what is that?
That's me laughing at it. Because I knew it had killed Bobby, and it wasn't going to get me.
What if it had gotten your wife and your two daughters?
Exactly.
That would have been horrible, but it wouldn't have gotten me.
But you don't care. You're more interested in making a movie and revenging your brother's death over
no, sir.
Yeah, that's what it sounds like.
If your baby would have died, how is that manning up?
It would have been horrible. It would have been horrible. But
hey, you know what I'm doing?
I could say to the hurricane, guess what? You didn't get me.
You know what I'm doing right now?
You didn't get me.
You know what I'm doing?
What?
Right now, I'm from Corpus Christi, Texas.
Yeah.
Okay? Right now, I am volunteering my help and my service to the city of New Orleans to help all the people that can't do anything anymore.
Okay, and yet
And you're sitting in California. Okay, first off, you said you didn't run. You weren't going to run. What are you doing in California?
I wrote a script that somebody's got to look at.
Why are you in California?
Because I wrote a script that someone's got to look at.
You're out here
because you ran away from the hurricane.
No, I never ran.
All right, look at Jason. We got to run. Thank you. Very good points.
He didn't make any good points.
Oh yes, he did. He made a couple of points about your family. He made some points about a lot of things. Okay, and that tape of you laughing—you sound like you're insane. Okay.
Look, I took a. Let me tell you something. 85 mile an hour winds, Mr. Hendry, and I got out of the car very calmly, and I had a tuna fish sandwich in my mouth. Both hands, I took a leak, 85 mile an hour winds. Now, I'm going to ask you a question.
That's insane.
No, wait, I'm going to ask you a question. Do you know any other man who's got the guts to do that? 85 mile an hour winds, and I'll tell you what, I knew which direction the wind was going, and I think I watered some plants about 100 yards away. Now, think about that. My idea of manning up, I know it's different from a lot of men, but brother, when I think of Bobby.
Look, everybody is sorry that you lost your brother.
I'm not hearing that.
Well, you're not. I don't hear you saying that you're very concerned with what happened to anybody else in New Orleans. Crystal, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Crystal, go ahead.
I just want to make a comment to the guy who's, I don't know his name. I caught the show on the tail end.
My name's Austin.
Austin.
Yeah.
I don't think that it takes, you have to be a man to withstand a hurricane. I think being a man is using wisdom and getting your family out of harm's way.
Yes, I did get my family out of harm's way, but listen to this. My wife recorded this. Yeah, come on. Come on!
Okay, so your wife has got a recording because she's scared that you're losing your mind if you go and bring it to the hurricane.
That's right. See, when your brother is picked up by a hurricane and dropped like he's something out of someone's nose into the Everglades, you take that kind of personal. And I did, Crystal.
I mean, I understand that.
See what I'm saying? Yeah.
That's life, but that still don't make it right for you to go and say you will spit at the hurricane when that is God's wrath. Number one, in my personal opinion, on the United States, because we have failed and we have turned our backs against God and become such a disgrace. We used to have morals and standards that we don't even have anymore.
Well, that may be true, but if God is bringing some wrath on us, he ain't going to bring it on me because he brought it already on my brother. Let's just say if that is God, I'm saying to God, you know, I don't mean this personal God, but you know what? Bring it. I got out of my car with 90 miles an hour winds, and I flexed. I literally did a Hulk Hogan flex. You know what I mean? You know when he goes down with his muscles?
Yeah.
I did that, 90 mile an hour winds. Why? Because God is just going to have to back up. He's going to have to back up a little bit. Austin and Marcus coming through.
Oh, yeah, right.
No.
Right.
Well, I think you know what I mean, Crystal. I know what you're saying. America's an evil country. I know it's evil. I knew it was evil before anybody else did.
Because the hurricane coming in, and if you want to put yourself in harm's way, that's you. But when you got a wife and two children,
yeah, but there are no civilians in this war, Crystal Lee. We're all just. You remember that song? It was done by that band Kansas. I close my eyes. Only for a moment, and the moment's gone. You know that song? Dust in the wind.
Yeah, I know that song.
Yeah, all we are is dust.
All we are is dust in the wind.
Right.
Right.
There you go. The existential reality of life. You know, God loves you, but you know what? On any given day, you're just a dingleberry that...
Okay, hold on. Look at Crystal. Thank you very much for your call.
Thank you.
Hold on. We got a break. 1-800-449-8686.
Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
Now I'm a fag, and I'm going to have my skull sexed. Anything else, gentlemen?
1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is
back. Can you sing that? Phil, I got Jim Pyle here. Jim actually works at the service shop where I take my van, but he's got a very good singing voice. Go ahead, Jim.
Well, what is he going to do?
It's that Dust in the Wind song.
I know how the song goes.
Hold on. Go ahead, Jim.
I close my eyes only for a moment, and the moment's gone. Dust in the wind. Oh, it's like that?
Yeah, that's great. How about that, huh? Now,
do you say you got a piece from the movie?
I got a little bit of the soundtrack. They wanted to do a pilot, so we did a pilot. And here is a scene when I tell my wife we are leaving New Orleans, and I'm going to eyeball Hurricane Katrina all the way out of town. I won't back down. And this is a scene where we also use the music of Foreigner, and here it is.
I told you already, I don't want to leave. Hurricane Katrina is going to have to eyeball me like a junkyard dog. All right, what is that?
That's me, basically. That's the hurricane talking to me and telling me what a cold-hearted son of a bitch I am. Excuse my language, but see, the hurricane's saying I'm cold, I'm hard, I'm hardcore.
All right, let's get some phone calls, okay?
Yes, sir.
1-800-449-8686. Patrick, go ahead.
Yeah, what's going on, Phil? How you doing?
Are you? Good.
Austin, man. The more I hear from you, dude, the more I question your... your intelligence.
Well,
dude,
I'm alive. I'm not sitting in Houston eating energy bars, you know?
Hey, buddy, listen.
I'm alive. I ain't sitting down in Houston drinking bottled water. I just had myself a steak.
Hey, man. I'm glad to hear it. Let me tell you something, though. You're making a complete spectacle out of the city of New Orleans.
I'm here in L.A. Selling a movie.
Hey, let me finish, Austin. First of all, your movie's going nowhere. You're not going to get a movie deal.
Okay, thanks a lot, Steven Spielberg.
Okay, second of all, listen, dude. I've lived in New Orleans my entire life. All right? I've lived through hurricanes. I've also evacuated hurricanes. The fact that you feel like more of a man because you try to sit through a hurricane or, you know, whatever you were trying to do, which I have no idea what the hell that was.
I'm eyeballing it.
What are you talking about?
I'm talking about your brother's life.
You said it 50 times.
It killed my brother.
I'm aware. I'm well aware of that.
Okay,
you said it 50 times, and I'm sorry about it. But listen, man, it took your brother's life. Learn from your brother's mistakes. Come on, dude.
Okay, Patrick, I got a break. What part of New Orleans are you from?
I'm from Metairie, Louisiana. Hey, and Austin, you're talking about crossing the causeway. If you're coming from Slidell and you cross the causeway, you're back on the South Shore in New Orleans.
I didn't say it's coming from Slidell. I said it's coming from Metairie.
You were coming from Metairie?
Yeah.
And you saw
I was going east-west.
No, the causeway is north-south, brother.
No, I ain't talking about Pontchartrain. I'm talking about the one over the on the western side of the city.
Okay, that's the twin spans, buddy. Get your story straight before you try
Just
to
listen,
make
it up. Listen to this music.
Oh, get out of here with that. The hurricane's talking to me. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
That tears it.
The Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Go to another phone call for Austin Amarca. I know you have other songs in this movie. You haven't even gotten a movie deal yet, have you?
We're going to get a movie deal. Don't worry, Mr. Hendry. But there's one more thing I want to play before you go to another phone call.
All right, make it fast.
Oh, well, okay, yes, sir.
Hey, look, man, because you got a movie deal. This is my... In fact, I'm taking another call.
Come on, let me...
I'm taking another call. Wonder, go ahead. Wonder?
Yes, my name is Wonder. Hey, good sir, I don't know you. I live in Cathedral City, California.
My name's Austin Amarca.
It's disgraceful that you have the audacity to, number one, try to capitalize on one of the biggest disasters in the United States. Number two, to act like you're doing something special for your brother. You have the audacity to say on the phone that you got out and urinated towards the tornado.
Yes.
Well, you know what? If your brother was living at this moment, he'd probably urinate on you. And unfortunately, you have a wife and two children. Your wife and your two children should leave you. You should be ashamed of yourself. And whatever California deal you have, I hope they think twice about it, because you are not deserving.
I'm making a movie about my escape from New Orleans, and yes, I did. I peed right into the face of Hurricane Katrina.
What do you think that did? Please tell me.
What?
What do you think that did? What do you think that did? Did that do anything to the face of the New Orleans? Did it?
Can I ask you something, ma'am?
Capitalizing on it is your business.
Can you get me a meeting with Denzel Washington? I just...
This is something for you to capitalize on.
No.
It is a terrible
I showed the hurricane.
Also,
I don't care.
The fact that you to think this is something that you're doing...
I don't give a sweet Jesus.
Something is wrong with...
1-800-449-8686. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
All right. There you have Austin Amarca and me, Phil Hendry, and... the callers from October 26th, 2005, that is from our archives, the Phil Hendry Show 20,000-plus-hour archive that's on our website, philhendryshow.com. And if you have a backstage pass, a subscription to our site for a year or a month, you get access to all of that. We also feature an hour from our archives once a day. And we call it the BSP family, so if you are into what we created here on this show for many, many years. We also have our new podcast. We have video casts that are up every day. We have old video casts and old webcasts. We've got TV pilots. We've got radio and television and newsprint, interviews, etc. It's all on site there at philhendryshow.com. So that concludes today's Classic Wednesday. I'm happy to have done it. I enjoyed that. I'd forgotten all about Austin spitting into the face of that hurricane. Because it came for his brother, and then it decided to come for him. World-famous Phil Hendry Show, executive produced by me, Phil Hendry. For Siempre Incorporated, all rights reserved on Podcast One and the panel, and everybody will be back tomorrow with the show.